Gone between five songs just until I pulled in the parking lot this morning to what I was going to sing. And I've had such a rough week. I thought, you know, it's just been rough. I've taken bad days and bad moods out on my kids and my husband. It's been a bad week, but I'm glad to know that there's going to come a day when I stand in front of the judge. And he's going to say, guess what? You're not guilty. Because I forgive you for all those bad moods. I forgive you for all those bad thoughts and tempers and everything else you've had. Because you're not guilty. Because I took that for you. This is the day I must answer for my life. My fate is in the judge's hands. He looked at me and said, I know you, I love you, I gave my life to save you. Love paid the price for mercy. Take the place for all my sins. I stand in awe. Now that I have been set free, and the tears well up as I look at that cross, 'cause it should have been me. My fate is in those nail-scarred hands. He stretched them.
Amen. Thanks, sis. Appreciate that. If you would be turning your Bibles, we're going to mark two places today. We're just going to read from one, but look at Matthew 7. Thank you, Michael. Matthew 17:21 and Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 and Matthew 17:21. Before we stand, I just want to state why I'm doing this. We had the missionary come last Sunday night, and he touched on fasting. And you can't really touch on fasting, I mean, not to knock what he did, because it whetted the appetite of a lot of people. And you came to me, I had multiple people come to me about fasting and wanting to fast, and they heard what the preacher said about what it can do for a church and what it can do for your life. Right. And many people wanted to know about, Brother Jeff, what is biblical fasting? And so I've restudied this in detail. This is going to be more of a teaching series on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then I'll finish up next Sunday morning, because I can't get this into two services. We'll finish up next Sunday morning. But listen, folks, I want you to pay attention, okay, because this is very important. And I'll talk about this at the end of the service, but we're going to start a fasting team, just like we got our missions team. And let me tell you something, this fasting team will be the most important team at this church. It will be. because that's going to be the heart and soul of this church, is the fasting and the prayer that's going to take place. We're going to cover this church in prayer and the people with prayer 7 days a week from here on out, okay? And it's going to be a very big challenge if you sign up for the fasting team. It's not something to take lightly, but we'll talk about that as the weeks go on, and I don't want you to make a decision today. Don't want you to make a decision tonight, or even next Sunday morning. I want you to pray about it for a week or two of whether or not God wants you to fast and pray for this church. And I put a list at the back, and I want you to listen to this sermon over the next couple weeks, and I want you to make a decision with the Lord of whether or not God's calling you to the fast team. Amen. If you would please stand in honor of God's Word, Matthew 17:21. We'll cover a portion of this today, portion tonight, and then finish up next Sunday morning. Matthew 17:21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, God, and I thank you for everything you've given me. I thank you for this church, Father. I just thank you for the people. I thank you for giving me the honor of pastoring this church, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you keep me motivated and keep me moving forward for this church, Father. I pray you keep the church motivated, but as we tackle this subject of fasting, I pray you deal with hearts. I pray you deal with the people that you want to be on this fast team, that you want to be fasting and praying for this church, and that we all take it very seriously. I pray, God, that you might anoint me this morning, help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit. I pray you bind the hands of demonic forces, help keep everybody's attention just for the next 20, 25 minutes or so, Father, because this is very important. And we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this service and on this church, and we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. If you check many Bibles today will leave off the fasting out of that verse. You'll go to different versions, and it'll take off the "and fasting" out of the Scripture. And listen, folks, I want to tell you, if you take the fasting away from prayer, you're taking away a huge tool to fight Satan with. Huge tool. You're starting out handicapped if you don't pray and fast. And listen, folks, I don't think, and I'm convicted by it, I don't know that I've ever preached a sermon or a sermon series on prayer and fasting. But it's very important. It's a biblical concept. See, many Christians fail in their prayer lives because they don't see the Lord work because they simply pray and do not support the prayer with fasting. There's many people say, "Brother Jeff, I've prayed for months, I've prayed for years for this and this and this." And you ask, you say, "Well, have you fasted?" And the answer is no. Listen, folks, there's some things that hit us in this life that will only be tackled and conquered through prayer and fasting. It takes both of them, amen? Listen, the disciples failed to cast out these demons. They failed to do what they were going to do, and they come to the Lord, and like many Christians, they come whining, and they said, "Lord, well, you know, we couldn't cast this out. We couldn't do this. Why couldn't we do it?" And the Lord straightened them up, and He said, "You couldn't do it because all you did was pray. You didn't put fasting with your prayers." Amen. Now listen, God does not command fasting. It's not commanded, "Thou shalt fast," in Scripture. But I want to tell you, you can look at biblical principle and you can see that if you don't fast, you're fighting a handicapped spiritual life. You are. You're fighting a handicapped spiritual life. Luke 5:33 says, "And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." So Jesus himself said, "Hey, they're not going to fast while I'm here, but after my death, after my resurrection, they're going to fast." And that carries on into the church age. Now listen, the only condition that God put on fasting, the only condition He put is it not be for outward show and for glory. Amen. We find that in Matthew 6:16. "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast." See, what they would do is they would walk around and want people to see that they'd went without food for a few days, that they'd just drank water for a few days, and they wanted to look. But He said, "No, don't do that." He said, "Anoint your face, wash your face, make yourself look like you're not fasting. You don't need to do it for man's glory." Amen. Right. Now listen, fasting is found 122 times in Scripture. 24 times it was found in the New Testament while Jesus was on earth, and 27 times after His ascension. So that tells us that after the ascension of Jesus, 27 times fasting is mentioned. Amen. Listen, the early church fasted every time it ordained an elder. We find that in Acts 14:23. "And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting." Listen, folks, I think it's safe to say that churches now, they call pastors, they call deacons, They call leadership, and they never one time take time to skip the plate and pray and fast.
That's right.
I know of churches today that have pastors, Brother Larry, and they never one time fasted over that pastor that they called. Listen, folks, that's very serious business. Some of this doesn't come. You say, why do churches get pastors they get? Why do they get ones that aren't congruent, that don't fit in, and they argue and they fight because maybe they didn't pray and fast about the man that God wanted them to have, amen? Sometimes we make business decisions instead of spiritual decisions as to who God wants, amen? It's very important. You know, Paul thought fasting was important. 2 Corinthians 11:27, in weariness and painfulness and watching often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings, often. Paul himself said, I fast often. Amen. Listen, folks, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, even myself. But no doubt there may be people in here that are healthy, that could fast, and you say, Brother Jeff, I can't tell you the last time I really went without food for a 24-hour period. Just drank water and prayed to the Lord for a certain individual or a certain need or a certain circumstance. Listen, you can change that today. That's what this is about. Now listen, just turn over to Isaiah 58. We're going to float in and out of there for the next few weeks. But Isaiah 58 talks a lot about fasting and gives us the diagram and gives us the formula for fasting. Isaiah 58, we'll start in verse 1. First of all, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Listen, that is a commandment to your pastor. That's a commandment to every pastor, in that we're to be proclaiming the Word of God from the pulpit, and we're to be a preaching against sin. That's what we're to do, amen? And what fasting will do, and we'll talk about this later on, fasting will suppress the flesh, it will increase the spirit in a born-again believer, and it will allow you to see sin in your life and deal with it, amen? And when the preacher preaches, and while you're fasting, you can see, this is wrong, and you can deal with it, amen? Then you drop down to Isaiah 58:2, ye that seek me daily, and delight to know my way, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me their ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Listen, people want to know about prophecy, they want to know when the Lord's coming back. I mean, the children of Israel were interested in biblical things and the things of God, but they didn't want to repent of their sins. Listen, there's many people in church like that. They come, they want to hear the revelation on Wednesday night, hear what God's going to do in the tribulation, but they stay in their sin. Listen, good preaching and true preaching should make a change in your life, amen? It should make a change, amen? Something else we find in Isaiah 58:3-4 is that, and on into 5, is that it cannot be a man-made fast. Listen, folks, I've talked to so many people. Listen, I understand the concept, I do, but I've talked to so many people that they make their own fast. Well, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. But listen, folks, if it's not a biblical fast, it doesn't matter. If it's a man-made fast and not a God-chosen fast, it's not going to do you an ounce of good, amen? You got to make sure it's God. Isaiah 58:6 and 58:5, it says, is it such a fast as I have chosen? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Listen, it has to be the fast that the Lord chooses to say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit. See, that's what fasting is. In a nutshell, is that you're suppressing the flesh and you're saying yes to the spirit and you're saying no to the flesh. Amen? Now listen, let's talk about the two types of fasting this morning. First of all, there's the total fast. I mean, that's when you have complete abstinence of water and of food. Complete. You don't touch any food, you don't touch any water. There's only three people in Scripture that did that. We find Moses in Exodus 34:28. We find Elijah in 1 Kings 19:8. And we find Jesus in Matthew 4:2. Let me state from the pulpit right now, do not do the total fast. Don't do it, because you will die. Amen? You'll die. You cannot go 40 days without water. You say, well, Brother Jeff, how did they do it? Well, first of all, Jesus was God in the flesh. Okay? All right. Secondly, Moses and Eli were with God on Mount Zion. They were in His presence, and you cannot die in God's presence. They were there with Him. That was a special time for them and them alone. That's why they didn't die. If you try to go without food and water for a lengthy period of age, you're going to wind up hospitalized, okay? And dead if you don't partake of some water. You can't go that many days without water. So that's not the fast we're going to do, okay? But the other fast is the partial fast. That is drinking water and eating no solid foods. Now, some people will argue juice, and we could argue back and forth about that. I don't really get in particular about that. If you want to drink juice, that's fine. But what you're trying to do is deprive your body of food. So anything that you chew, that you chew up is not a fast. It's a diet. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, okay? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So we're dealing with this partial fast. We're dealing with no foods and just juice and water, okay? Now, let's talk a few things this morning about what does fasting do. What is fasting going to do? Brother Jeff, what are the benefits that we're going to get from fasting? First of all, it afflicts the soul. It afflicts the soul. Isaiah 58:3, right there. Wherefore we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Psalm 69:10 says, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. See, the soul is the seat. It's the seat of the emotions, the affections, the desires, and the will. When you fast, you attack all those things. You attack your desire, your emotions, your affections, your will. And fasting will put down those desires and lift up the spirit.
Right.
You're afflicting the soul. That's one benefit of fasting. A second benefit is that it affects the lifestyle. Isaiah 58:3, it says, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. See, the problem with their fasting was this, is that they were partying and having a good time while they were fasting. Listen, that does you no good. Just abstaining from food does you no good. Amen? You have to abstain from food to fast. But just saying, I'm going to abstain from food and not changing your worldly lifestyle around you and what you take in through your eyes, that's not going to do you any good. That doesn't make you any more spiritual. Amen? I mean, true fasting will curtail pleasure. Amen? It should be a time of drawing closer to God. I mean, don't say that you're fasting and nothing changes in your life. Listen, you should improve. Your Bible study should improve. Amen? Your prayer life should improve. Amen? Your church attendance should improve. Amen? Listen, if you're fasting, then God's going to deal with you about things in your life that are coming short. Amen? He's going to deal. Now listen, the third thing is that fasting reflects the mind and heart. Look at Isaiah 58:3. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Listen, folks, we're supposed to continue on laboring like we are. Go to work, amen? Be the best worker at work. Do the church work. Do everything you need to do. Be the husband, be the wife you need to be, but keep in mind to keep God in the forefront of your mind while you're fasting, amen? That is the key. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Matthew 6:22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. This is a time of purifying of the mind and heart. Listen, how dumb would it be to fast and eat and say, I'm going to fast and eat and pray, and then you go and you watch something you shouldn't watch on television. Or you listen to something you shouldn't listen to on the radio. Listen, it's a denying of the flesh, a suppressing of the flesh. Now listen, fourthly, fasting rejects controversy. Look at Isaiah 58:4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Listen, fasting and fighting cannot coexist. They can't coexist. I mean, we can't be filled with jealousies, envies, hatreds, and unforgiving spirit, all those things, and expect God to supply the fasting need. We can't do it. Acts 24:16 says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Listen, folks, I mean, the reason there's so much jealousy and envy and strife in the church is because people are not fasting the proper way. Don't think that if you have aught with Brother David or you have aught with Brother Larry or you have aught with whoever it may be in this church and you just can't stand them, you're bitter against them, you're angry against them, and think that God's going to honor you with a fast. Listen, folks, God says you better take care of that situation first before you start fasting, amen? It rejects controversy, amen? 1 Kings 19:22, we find that, and after the earthquake of fire, we know about all the things that took place here, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. See, folks, many people can't hear the still small voice of God because they have not suppressed the flesh. And fasting will suppress that flesh to the point that you can hear the small voice of God and make changes in your life. Listen, fasting, fifthly, fasting projects our prayers. It projects them. Look at Isaiah 58:4. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Listen, if you devoid yourself, if you take these things out of your life, God will hear your prayers. But we know that iniquity in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Listen, folks, you say, why does God not hear our prayers? Well, let me tell you why. In Philippians 3:19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Listen, many Christians do not have their prayers answered, and the reason is because they can't push away the dinner plate. Now listen, if you're sick and you have diabetes, you have other issues, I understand. You can't fast. You can't go 24 hours without food. But there's healthy people that need to be fasting for the Lord. Amen? Need to be doing it. I think about a few people in Scripture. I think about Esther. Think about her, Esther 4:3. It says that she fasted and she wept. Her whole people were going to be destroyed. The whole people were going to be destroyed. And what did she do? She went to fasting and praying. She got serious with the Lord. Listen, if you have something hit your life that's serious enough, you're going to fast and pray for that situation. Amen? You know, I even think about Daniel. And I know this has been a big hit. I think Brother Larry's on it right now. And my wife has decided we're going to start it this week. And this Daniel diet. And Brother, I tell you, Daniel didn't have fried chicken and pizza. That's all I'm saying. Amen? Amen. That's why he kept his diet. Amen. That's right. And a Mexican restaurant on every corner. Amen. Right. Amen. But listen, this Daniel diet is found in Daniel chapter 1, 8 through 16. We won't read through all this, but if you read there, if you read in Daniel 2, 10, 2 through 3, amen, you find a diet there, okay? And even the three Hebrew children, they said, hey, look on our countenance, and say, you'll see our countenance changes, right? And they said, we can eat this healthy, and it's good. Those things are great. Amen. It's a cleansing of the body. You get energy. You get a better attitude. Your body gets healthy, amen. You'll feel good, amen. Your body feels good. But that's not a fast. There's a difference between a fast and a diet. And there's many diets in Scripture, okay? That's the Daniel diet we're talking about there. But he did that in Daniel 10 and Daniel chapter 1. Then we had David, another type of fast here, found in Scripture. But listen, David fasted, but he was fasting when God had already placed judgment on him.
Yep.
He is fasting, Brother Larry, because that baby was going to die.
Yep.
Didn't want the baby to die, but Brother Danny, his sin had led to that. Listen, there's some things you'll fast and pray for that God's not going to answer you yes with. Amen? It's not a magic formula or magic prayer that God's automatically, well, they're fasting, they're praying, yes. They're fasting and praying. Listen, if you have brought sin into your life and circumstances, fasting and praying does not always take care of that. Listen, if you murder somebody, don't think that you're going to sit in the jail cell and fast and pray and God's going to just get you out of it. Amen? Listen, there's consequences to sin. Amen? So that's not what we're talking about here. I think about Job and his three friends. Job and his three friends sat down, and they were on the ground 7 days and seven nights. They didn't eat. They fasted together. But Job's friends had the wrong attitude. See, they were there to condemn Job. They wasn't there to help him, Brother Larry. Brother Dave, they wasn't there to help him. They were there to beat on him, Brother Lenny, and kick him while he's down. So that's the wrong type of fasting. Amen? Now listen, fasting perfects God's will for us. Look at Isaiah 58:5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord? Here's the question, did God choose the fast? And if God chose the fast, is it the acceptable fast between you and God? See, that's the question. I mean, listen, folks, I just want to tell you this. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fasting should be a time to grow in the Lord. And that's what you should approach it with, is that, God, I can get closer to your will as I grow in you and I learn more about what you want us to do. Amen? You know, think about somebody critical in the hospital. Think about this now. I want you to say, because I'm as guilty of it as anybody. But preacher, we go to the hospital and we go to somebody and we say, hey, can you relieve me so I can go downstairs and get me some food? Well, if somebody's nice to you, that's probably not the best time to be thinking I need to go eat, right? That might be a time we need to start thinking, hey, I'm going to fast and pray for this person, amen? I'm going to fast and pray for this loved one. I'm going to fast and pray for this friend. We're going to close here this morning. But lastly, listen, fasting selects purpose of heart and singleness of mind. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Here's the question, why are you fasting? Now if you sign this list back here in a week or two and the Lord lays it on your heart, why are you doing it? Listen, folks, don't just sign it because you say, I want to be on the mission team and look spiritual. That's not why we're doing it. Hey, if there was any other way to do this, I would do it to where it would be privately because we don't want to glorify and bring up ourselves on the mission. But there's no other way to do it. We're going to have a missions team. A fasting team. The only way we can have a fasting team is to put a list at the back, people sign up, and let's meet and pray, okay? That's the only way we can do it. But we're going to do it, amen? And we're going to fast pray, but you need to make sure your heart's right and you're doing it for the right reason.
Yep.
Pray about it. Seek the face of God. Say, God, do you want me on this fast team? Isaiah 41:21 says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. You need to approach the Lord with purpose of heart and singleness of mind and say, God, do you want me to be fasting for my church and for these people? And it's going to be serious. And I'm going to explain it real quick before we close. I mean, why do Christians pray for years and not see their prayers answered? Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Dr. M.H. Tabb hit the nail on the head. I was reading his book on this study when I was studying this, and he said, the problem, Brother David, with most Christians is that they don't enter into their closet to pray. They enter into their pantry. And that's true. Because see, in your closet, there's no food. In your pantry, you're serving your belly. Amen? Listen, folks, I want to tell you this morning. Maybe the Lord's laid on your heart. Maybe there's people. Maybe there's prayers that you have not seen answered, and the Lord has laid on you this morning that it's because you have never fasted. Why not? It might be your home life. It might be your family life. It might be somebody that's lost in your family. It might be an addiction. Whatever it may be. Now listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have this fasting team prayer request. I'm going to set this box. You just open up the front of it here and drop it in, or you can drop it in slot. We're going to have little slips of paper back there. You can be anonymous. This is not a confessional booth, okay? This is not for you to confess your sins, amen, to Brother Jeff and the fasting team. Listen, you can write anonymously. You can type it if you're afraid somebody will know you're... But maybe you got an alcohol problem. You say, pray for my alcohol problem. Don't put your name on it. Just stick it in there and we'll pray. Amen.
Yep.
You say, I've got a loved one that needs to be saved. Maybe you want specific prayer. You say, this is Alma and I need prayer. She's already given me one. I stuck it in here. This is Alma and I need you praying for this, this, and this. That's fine. We'll call out Alma's name in prayer.
That's
and
right.
Pray for her. Amen. But what's going to happen is we're going to take this every month. Every month we're going to have our fasting team meeting. I'm going to clear this thing out. I'm going to type it out on paper. We're going to hand it to our fasting team in the meeting. And we're going to commit together to pray for every one of these on the day that we fast.
That's awesome.
You say, how will the fast take place, Brother Jeff? Well, if you sign up for Wednesday, you'll fast from Wednesday at 6 p.m. till Thursday at 6 p.m. If you sign up for Thursday, you'll fast from Thursday at 6 p.m. to Thursday or to Friday at 6 p.m. It'll be a Jewish 24-hour calendar there that we're going to do. Amen? And then we'll be praying for these requests. Now, that's why it's so serious. I don't want anybody signing up that won't vow to fast and pray. But I want to tell you something, folks, with this challenge, is that we have the Word of God and the promises from the Word of God. And God says if we fast and pray, we'll see results around here. Listen, folks, souls will be saved. People will come.
That's right.
Amen. You say, I want our church to grow. Pastor, where it is, you want our church to grow, we're going to start fasting and praying. Amen.
And listen, I'm taking the lead.
I'm not going to ever ask anybody to do something that I won't do. Me and Belinda's name's already on the list because God convicted me so much about this fasting. We're going to fast from Wednesday at 6 to Thursday at 6. That's the day we chose, okay? So I'm going to set the lead and the example. Your pastor will be fasting. I'll be on the fasting team, amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed, everyone standing, if you're able. You might be here this morning. Maybe the Lord's already dealt with you about praying and fasting, and you just want to come down and firm it up with Him and say, Lord, I want to be serious. Lord, I don't take this lightly. And like I said, this is going to be the most important position at this church.
You say, even more important than the pastor? I believe so, because listen, hey, the pastor can't go without prayer and fasting.
Amen? Deacons and the trustees, we can't have a good meeting without prayer and fasting. We can't see souls saved without prayer and fasting. As they sing softly one verse. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't know I'm saved. If you're not saved this morning, I know this wasn't a salvation message, but Jesus Christ wants to save you. He loves you. He died on the cross for you, so you don't have to go to that place called hell. And if you'll come down this morning and cry out to Him, He says He will save you. He will no wise cast you out. If that's you this morning, you can come down and we'll show you from the Word of God how you can know you're going to heaven when you die. Brother Larry, one verse. If nobody moves, we're done.